Welcome to the Chad Whittle Podcast. On each episode of the show, Chad is joined by academics, media professionals, and thought leaders to discuss their careers, the latest media developments, how technology is impacting our lives, and so much more. And now, here's Chad.
My guest is Glenn the Geek, the founder of the Horse Radio Network and the host of Horses in the Morning. Glenn, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chet.
So I've known about you for a couple of years now. I teach a podcasting course, and when I teach that class, I show this documentary. I believe it's called Messengers. It's a podcasting.
Yeah, the Messengers, yeah.
It's a podcasting documentary, and you're interviewed in this documentary.
That's right. Yep. They came up and filmed for a couple of days here at the farm. So it was fun. It was fun to do that. It was a different. It's always different doing a movie than it is doing podcasts every day.
Oh, definitely. Sort of awkward. You got people filming you. There's this video. It's not just audio. So it can make you a little awkward at the beginning if you're not used to video.
Well, yeah. And then they filmed for 3 days and used what? 4 minutes of it. So, I mean, there's that too, which makes it different than podcasting for sure. I just find podcasting so much easier than doing video or of any kind, actually.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. My background is radio and I love audio, radio, podcasting. I love that you show up, you do your show, then you're done. Of course, you might do some editing if it's a podcast, but if it's live, of course, you don't. And then you're done. Video is so much more work than audio. I love audio because not only is it my background, I feel in some ways audio, because you don't have that video element to it, you really have to tell the story to your listeners. You really got to paint that picture to your listeners. With video, you can just show the pictures. With audio, you got to do that for your audience. It's a little bit more of a challenge. Now, granted, video is challenging in itself, but they're just two different mediums. But I really enjoy podcasting audio.
And I think, what really makes a good podcast is preparation. You know, it may only take you do an hour podcast, it may take an hour or two to edit, but it's the prep time that really takes the time. If you have guests, it's booking the guests, researching the guests. If you do a show like we do with Horses in the Morning, it's 90 minutes, 5 days a week. So, we probably do between booking guests and the prep I do before the show in the morning, it's 4 to 5 hours of prep for every episode. So, I think that shows, though. I mean, that shows in the final product is how much prep you put into that episode. You know, if it's an interview show, it's how well you know your guest, and your questions will reflect how well you know your guest.
I totally agree with you on that. My background, as I said, is in radio, is in talk radio. I produced a local morning show, 3 hours, Monday through Friday. We would have guests, we'd have phone calls, but mostly just the host. He would talk for 3 hours. So,
and that ain't easy, talking to yourself for 3 hours.
It's not easy.
And not easy.
Every morning, I would have a big stack of news, of articles for him to read, for him to discuss on the air. And between scheduling guests and finding prep for him, sometimes I felt the 3 hours on the radio, that was easier than preparing for the show. That's where a lot of the work happens.
Oh, I agree with you. I always say that if I could do nothing but the microphone, talking to the microphone, my job would be the best job in the world. It's unfortunately, talking into the microphone is actually a small part of a full, I'm a full-time podcaster, so that's a small part of my job. It's the most fun part, but it's the smallest part. The rest of the time, in my case, is spent selling advertising, dealing with everything that a regular radio network would deal with. A radio station and a radio show deals with the selling of the advertising, working with the advertisers. In my case, we have 20 different shows, so working with all of the different hosts and also worrying about my own shows, you know, that I have to host and the content for those. So, you know, 80% of my time is done doing what I would consider really is it's busy work. It's important work, but it's busy work. The fun part is doing this, is talking on the mic.
So 20 different shows. That's a pretty big network.
Yeah, I mean, especially for the niche we're in. We talk about horses, and that's what we talk about. And when I started 12 years ago, you know, all my friends said, what are you going to talk about after a couple of weeks? You know, you're going to run out of things to talk about. And here we are, we're over 11,000 episodes in the Horse Radio Network now, all about horses. I mean, all of those episodes are about horses. And I mean, our biggest show is Horses in the Morning. That's the only horse-related daily podcast out there. And we think it's one of the top five longest-running daily podcasts, period. We've been 10 years, almost 2,500 episodes, and not missed. I mean, we've been religious about it because we have sponsors we have to make happy. So we think it's in the top five longest-running daily podcasts in existence. But, you know, it's also our most popular show. You teach podcasting, and I go to podcasting conferences, and one of my biggest pet peeves is when I hear a speaker say, your podcast can't be longer than 20 minutes, because that's the drive time of somebody driving to work on average. And that is the biggest misnomer out there. Your podcast shouldn't be any longer than it is interesting. So as long as your podcast is interesting and keeps people's attention, that's how long it should be. If you're interesting for 20 minutes, then your podcast shouldn't be longer than 20 minutes. If you're interesting for 90 minutes, then you can do a podcast that's 90 minutes. And some of the most popular podcasts in the world are 4 to 5 hours. It just has to be interesting. It has to be enough to keep people's attention. So in our case, we do 90 minutes 5 days a week, which you as a radio guy, especially morning drive radio, can understand that works. It works in radio. People will sit there and listen to morning drive radio at work. They listen to it in the car, and then they finish it up at work. They'll listen for that period of time because they see value in listening, or they get something out of it, entertainment, education, whatever. So your podcast should be as long as it is interesting and or entertaining. Any longer than that, it shouldn't be. It's up to you to decide with your listeners how long that is. So in our case, 90 minutes a day, 5 days a week, they count on that. A listener will allow as much time, will make time if they see value or if they find your podcast interesting in some way. They're going to make time to do that. And it's usually a certain time of the week if it's weekly. In our case, it's a certain time of the day. They know our show comes out by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're going to listen to it after that. And if we're not on time, then we've, in some cases, messed up their listening time, the time they had allotted. So when you mess up their listening time on when they're scheduled to listen to your show mentally, they have a schedule. And you think about your podcast listening, you listen on a schedule too, and you listen to certain shows at certain days of the week and certain times. And if it's late, you may skip that week because you've missed your time, right? Or you may make it up if it's valuable enough to you to make it up, but then you're pushing another podcast out. So it's very important, one, to have a time that your podcasts come out, because people do count on that, and they know, your listeners will know. But then make it as long as it is interesting. So if you're getting bored after 20 minutes, then they're getting bored after 10. You always have to be aware of what's a good podcast, what length of time makes a good podcast in your case.
What you just said is exactly what I tell my students. Your podcast should be as long as you can make it interesting. For some people, that is 20 minutes. Some people, it's an hour and a half. But the thing is now, with podcasting, if you produce a long podcast, there's a play pause button. You don't have to sit there and listen the entire time. So
right.
Saying it should only be 20 minutes, you can play 20 minutes, then go to work or in a meeting or whatever, then you can always come back to it. It's not like radio where it's live, and if you miss it, you miss it.
I think one of the things that new podcasters, they make a mistake in that they don't think about how they listen. So if you think about how you listen to podcasts, that's how your listener listens to podcasts. So they don't relate it back to how they listen. And yeah, I do start a podcast You know, in the morning before I start work, and then I may listen to it a little bit at lunch or when, you know, when I go ride my bike or when I'm out with the horses, I may listen to a little more of it and then I may finish it at a certain time. So that's how we listen. Always think back to how do you relate to podcasts? How do you relate to podcasts? How do you relate to commercials and podcasts? So if you're eventually going to be putting ads in your podcast, how are you thinking about the ones you listen to? Which ones do you like? Make sure that yours are like that. Which ones do you fast forward through? Make sure yours are not like that, right? So you always think back as you as a listener when you relate to yourself as a host. The people who have trouble coming into podcasting, I think you'll, Chad, you'll back me up on this, are people who have never listened to a podcast before and then all of a sudden decide they want to start one and have never listened to a podcast. First of all, that's a big mistake. Listen to a ton of different podcasts. And through listening to other people's podcasts, one, you're going to get ideas for your own, but you're also going to see what you like to listen to. And tends to be what you like to listen to is also what you're going to be good at as a host.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. While you were talking, I was sitting here thinking to myself, that's a problem. A lot of young early podcasters, maybe they've never done this before. They start a podcast and they're interested in fashion, or they're interested in sports, or they have all these different topics they're interested in, but they don't really have enough to say about those topics for 20 or 30 minutes. And that's a problem. That's a mistake people make, is they feel that they could give political analysis about the news every day on a podcast, but then when they actually try to do it, it's not interesting. They watch the news and then they feel kind of Monday morning quarterback, they can do it. So that's a big mistake people make. You got to find something you're passionate about, that you're good at, that you have a lot of knowledge on. That's what you do on Horses in the Morning. If I tried to do a podcast about horses, I would be lost.
When you're in a niche like ours, horse people are addicted to horses. I mean, there's no question about that. They spend all their time and money on horses, period. I'm in a unique niche that way. It's kind of, I would relate it to avid golfer or something, you know, hobbies that take up all your time and money. Well, that's what horses do. They take up all your time and all your money and all your thought process. So I'm kind of lucky in that I'm in a niche where people are obsessed by it. So they are looking for podcasts about it, but they also know about it. So if you came in as a host, they would know you're faking it. However, when I came in, I'm a horse husband. I married into this. I'm not a horse trainer. I barely ride. I drive carriages because I didn't like riding. So when we started, I said, we had a discussion about how am I going to approach myself? What am I going to do as a host? Because I really have no credibility other than being a horse husband. So that's what we did. I'm America's horse husband. And so I'm asking the questions that people who don't know a lot about horses ask. And because I went in honestly and said, look, I don't know a lot about this stuff. I'm just a horse husband. And I got a co-host who did know a lot about horses. It worked, you know, because I represented a certain segment of the horse population. And then she represented a certain segment of the horse population. And then it works. So you have to be genuine. If you're going in a niche of any kind, is, you know, a podcasting niche, podcast about podcasting. Podcasters know if you don't know what you're talking about, right? They can pick that up in seconds. So it's the same here. You know, you have to go in genuine, because they're going to know in your niche that you're not who you say you are. That comes out really quickly. And you know, one of the things I always say at podcasting conferences, the first thing I say at every keynote I give, is people come for the content to your podcast, but they stay for the host. And if you're not if they don't feel you're a genuine host or you're a faker in some way, then they're not staying. So they may love your content, but if they don't like you as a host, they're not hanging around. They're going to find a host they do like. So that's one of the most important lessons you can learn in podcasting, is people tend to focus a lot when they first start a podcast on content, 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 and they forget their own personality. You've got to have your personality in it. The reason they're staying is because of your personality. They either like it or they don't, right? So they're either going to stay or they're not. And there's some people that 20% of the people that come will not like you no matter what you do. That's a rule I learned. And I owned an acting company for 10 years. And one of the things we learned, every audience we were in front of, whether it was 1,000 people or 100 people, 20% of that audience is going to like the show. The other 80% will give you a standing ovation. They saw the same show. And it's the same with podcasting. A certain percentage that come to listen to you aren't going to like you no matter who you are. But that 80% is staying because they like you as the host. Yeah, you're providing good content for them, but they're not hanging around unless they like you. Do you agree with that?
Definitely. It's all about the host. It's an entertainment medium. That's true for talk radio, going back to my background. If you are not, especially if you're talking for 3 hours a day, if you don't have an engaging, interesting, fun personality, they're going to change the channel. And I don't blame them. There's so many options now in media for podcast, for audio, for whatever you're in, video, audio, whatever. You really have to be your authentic self. And that's what people want now. They want authenticity. As you said, they can tell if you're not the real deal, if you are faking it.
So I would say, getting back to what you said earlier, you have me thinking here, getting back to what you said earlier is, you know, you said you really need to know a lot about your niche. If you don't know a lot, but you're extremely curious about that niche, you know enough, right? Like I knew enough. If you're extremely curious about that niche, then don't come in claiming you know a lot. Come in claiming you know a little and you're extremely curious. They're either going to hang around because they like you or they don't. And maybe you're just the best interviewer in that niche, right? You're the best interviewer or any podcast in that niche. And you'll pick up an audience because of that, because you're learning with the audience. So I think you just have to be genuine no matter what level you're at. You just can't claim to be something you're not, because they'll see right through that.
So tell me about the founding of the Horse Radio Network. How did all this get started?
Well, I've been a consultant in the retail end of the horse world for a long time. We owned our own store, and then when we sold that, I went into consulting for some large retailers in the horse world. And I was in between gigs, and I was hired to help a company sell. I worked with them for 2 years. We got them ready to sell, then they sold. But the only problem about being a contractor like that is when you actually accomplish your mission, you're out of a job. So in the meantime, I said, I got to do something entertaining again. I owned the acting company for a long time. I missed the entertaining part. I missed being the show person, right? Because as a consultant, you're kind of in the background. And I missed having the fun part of being an entertainer. So I said, well, I'm just going to start a podcast. Back in the early days, this was 2008. There were no smartphones. People had to listen on their computer or download it from their computer and then re-download it to their iPod. So you really had to want to listen to a show back then. And my first one was in 2006. And then in 2008, I started the Horse Radio Network. And the first show on the Horse Radio Network was called Stable Scoop. And I had a friend of mine who I'd worked with in the past, who was a lot of fun. And her and I started this show knowing that I wanted to build it. I started Stable Scoop and the Horse Radio Network at the same time. Stable Scoop was the only show for a year on the network. But the website was there, the name was bought, and all of that. And then we started adding shows. And, you know, eventually now we have 20 shows. But I started Horses in the Morning a couple years, 2010, 2 years into that. I always wanted, it's funny that you brought that up, Chad. I always wanted to be a morning drive radio guy. But I never wanted to be a morning drive radio guy at a radio station, because I knew the politics and the hassle. And I just couldn't see myself working for what I'm understanding in the radio business are a bunch of clowns. At least every host says that, right, about their boss at a radio station. But I couldn't see myself doing that. So I knew I had to do it on my own. So we started this daily live show when nobody knew really how to do it. And there really wasn't a whole lot of live shows back then, especially daily. So we kind of figured it out and I found my co-host. Funny story about that. I put an ad up on Facebook for a co-host for a new show that was going to start. We had 80, and I had people send me voicemails because I wanted to hear their personality. So we had 80 voicemails. My wife and I got some champagne. And one night we sat around and drank and listened to these voicemails. The 80th voicemail was this woman named Jamie Jennings, who had worked in radio for 10 years, top 40 radio for 10 years in Atlanta. And she had the personality. She was the 80th one. I called her up. And the next week she flew out to Lexington and we met and spent a week together, had a good time doing all horsey stuff out there. And we started the show, and she's still my co-host 10 years later. She's the longest radio gig she's ever had, by the way.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. I think the longest before that was maybe 2 years, which I think is the average life of a radio person at a station.
That's about right. Yeah, it's fun to do radio like podcasting, but it's very competitive. You know, that's what I love about podcasting is you don't have to go through all the hoops. You can just buy the equipment, do it from your house. Do it in your own time, once a week, twice monthly, whatever your schedule is, and you can do what you want. You talk about horses, I do this thing with media professionals. So it's a lot of fun, and you just avoid all the hassle like you were talking about.
Well, and you know, obviously we have a unique situation. Most of our shows, and you do this, we recommend twice a month to start. I found that now even weekly shows, you know, with the dropout rate in podcasting is so high. It's always been high. I mean, we're still at 80 to 85% of people will be done in 6 months. And it's because they try and do too much. So when we start new shows now with the hosts, if they come to me and say, I want to do weekly, I'll say, well, let's start twice a month. And then once we have the show up and running, we got a bit of an audience, or we have sponsors that can support it, then we'll go to weekly. And hardly any of them ever go to weekly. They find that they can handle twice a month, and most of them come back and thank me and say, I'm glad I didn't do weekly, or I wouldn't have been able to maintain it. I think that that's a mistake a lot of new podcasters make too, is they think they can do more than they, it takes more time than you think. We say, and we've done studies on this, we do a lot of episodes, so it takes us 8 to 10 hours for every hour we're on the air in pre and post production. And that's everything. That's marketing, sales, everything. So 8 to 10 hours of time for every hour of show. So we're producing 20 episodes, so 15 to 20 episodes a week. You know, that's a lot of hours. So you're going to be in that same boat. And that's another misnomer, too. It's another thing that drives me crazy when I'm at podcasting conferences. People say, well, I only spend an hour. You know, I spend an hour editing my show for every hour I'm on the air, and they make that sound like that's the only thing they do. Well, that's one part of what you do for your show. The other part is prep time. Booking guests is extremely time consuming. Just everything that you do, including marketing and everything that you do, you have to add in there because it takes time from your family or from whatever your job or from whatever else you're doing. It's going to take that time, and that's going to come back and bite you in the end. So be realistic in your time consumption. Plan on 10 hours for every episode, at least.
If you really want to do podcasting more than a hobby, got to put a lot of work into it. It's not easy. It's people, oh, it's so fun. Talk behind a microphone for 30 minutes.
Yeah, you can make
minutes.
A crappy show doing that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to make a good show, then you're going to spend 10 hours.
And the ones that are passionate, the people that love what they're doing, those are the ones that have a great chance at success because they are putting in the effort. They're not just turning on a mic and I tell my students this, you got to have great audio quality. There's a million plus podcasts out there now. People are not going to waste their time listening to some poor audio quality podcast. They're not going to do it.
And when they sound like this back here and right. It's all hollow and echoey.
Yes. Yes.
But, it's you terrible. Know, so audio quality is very important, but I keep coming back to prep. You know, you can do a crappy podcast, just get on and talk, but are you going to develop an audience? And then the other thing that most podcasters, and I'm sure you talk about this in your course all the time, is marketing your show. How many times have we seen in podcasting rooms on Facebook, well, I've been doing this 6 months and I have 12 listeners. Well, how much marketing have you done? What have you done to market your show? And I'm not talking, when I talk about marketing, I don't really mean spending money even. It's how are you getting the word out? That's part of your show. That's part of, if you want listeners, you have to tell people about it and you have to find creative ways to do that. So, you know, you can do this all day long, right? You can talk in the mic all day long, but if you actually want somebody to listen, then your 50% of your work is going to be getting the word out.
And that's a full-time job in itself. At least now you have some free options, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media. But when you started...
What does that take?
Time. Effort.
Yep.
Yep. But when you started MySpace, Facebook.
We didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
We went to horse shows. So
okay.
What we
did, you didn't even have the Apple podcasting app.
No, there was no iPhones or anything. It was iPods. Or most people listened on their computer. They just hit the play button on their computer. So, you know, going to the website and hitting play was how people listened. And it would usually at work. Most people listened at work at that point. So it was interesting then, because we would have to get the word out through word of mouth, one. And two, we went to horse shows. So we would set up equipment at horse shows and we'd do the shows from the horse shows. And we developed a lot of relationships with associations in the horse world and things like that to help us get the word out. So we had to make partners in order to get the word out, because there was no easy way to do it. And after 6 months, our first show had 12 listeners. After 6 months. After a year, it had about 200. So it built from there. It just kept building. And, you know, it was not easy. And, you know, I look today and I go, geez, it would be so much easier to start today than it was back then.
Well, maybe in some ways, but other ways, there's so many more podcasts now. But you said in your niche, maybe there's not as many as other niche, you know, other categories.
There is now. And that's been interesting, too. We were the only ones for 8 years, you know, we until Serial hit. We were the only ones. So then when Serial hit and podcasting became more popular, then a couple of more horse podcasts popped up. And now there's a whole bunch of them. But it's the same thing. About 80% of them are gone in 6 months. So when I ask a podcast that's already existing to come on the network, what I look for is, have they been around for a year and have they been consistent? So if you're saying you're going to put out 2 episodes a month, and then some months you miss and some months you don't do any, and then all of a sudden you're popping one in, they're not going to come on the network. I can't bring them on the network. I need consistency. If I'm going to get a sponsor for them, I need to have them consistent. So that's the first thing I look at. It's the first thing I look at when somebody asks me to be on their podcast. Chad, when you asked me, I went back and looked, are you consistent? I wouldn't have come on your podcast had you not been consistent. Because I know that if you're not consistent, you're going to be gone in 6 months.
Consistency is the key to growing a podcast audience. I would love to do this more, but as you said, time, you can only do so much in a day. You only have so much time. I would love to do this weekly. I do about twice a month because I have other commitments, you know, work, you know, family. I got a baby on the way here as well, so that's going to take a lot of time. Pretty soon.
More than you think.
Yeah, it'll be my wife. She's due to give birth here very soon to our daughter. So, and I know that's going to be a big time commitment.
Congratulations ahead of time.
Thank you. And that's going to be a big time commitment. But twice a month, weekly, whatever you're doing, you got to be consistent, as you said. If you don't do that, it's hard for the audience to know when to listen to you. If you just randomly post a new episode.
And they don't even notice it comes into their feed, you know, with the 25 other podcasts that they listen to. You can get away. What we found with all the experimenting we've done over the years, we found that, you know, a weekly podcast obviously will build an audience. We found that twice a month will build an audience, too. We found that monthly will not. It's too long in between and people forget and then they don't come back. So we found that twice a month is that kind of sweet spot to get started. Weekly is great if you have the time and money and energy to put into that. But I would venture to say not a lot of people do, unless you're a professional at what you're doing. If you have another gig and you're doing this on the side, then twice a month is enough to build an audience, is, you know, frequent enough to build an audience.
All right, final question before I let you go today.
You could
today.
Talk all day on this stuff.
Oh, I know. I could, too. I love discussing podcasting. Maybe we can meet sometime soon at a podcast conference. That'd be cool. Final question. Looking back at the Horse Radio Network and all the effort that you put into this, what do you believe has been the key to your success?
Relationships. From day one, I alluded to it a little bit. We built relationships with industry leaders, whether that was magazines who are the most popular, sponsors, obviously. But we built relationships with associations in the horse world, with presidents of associations. We've gone to right now about 30 trade shows. That's where wholesalers meet retailers, those kind of trade shows. We've gone to those. We make the rounds at trade shows, talking to people. So, you know, relationships for sure. You know, one of the other things I say at podcasting conferences is it's not who you know, it's who knows you. Right. So if people know you, that's more important than who you know. And that's what we tried to accomplish from the beginning. It was getting as many people to know us as possible. And that was through building relationships. And we've done that pretty successfully over the years. And that's what's led to where we are today, is all those thousands of relationships we built along the way.
Well, I really enjoyed this. A lot of fun. We could do 4 hours about podcasting, maybe five. I love discussing podcasting. It's so much fun.
Chad, can I give you a quick bonus? You can use this or not.
Okay.
I haven't talked about this yet. So we did a survey here with our listeners, and we had about 300 responses to this. And the questions were involving advertising. And this is important for somebody going in that really wants to, you know, make money doing it eventually. Not everybody has to, but if you do. So what we found is that podcast listeners and magazine readers in a niche were kind of two different groups. 65% of our listeners said they don't subscribe to any magazines, but they listen to multiple podcasts. So that was important for us because our biggest competition in dollars and sponsorships is magazines. So when we found that out, the other question we asked is, for those that do subscribe to magazines, how many have bought a product as a result of a magazine ad? Only 20% had ever bought a product in the last year as a result of a magazine ad. 90% have bought a product because of one of our commercials in a podcast.
Wow. Wow. You need to put that on your website if you don't have that already for potential advertisers.
Yeah, we make sure we share that everywhere because it is true. And when you think about how the personal relationship that a listener has with a podcast host, even though they've never met them and the host doesn't know who they are, you're their friend. They think of you as their friend and they'll buy something from a friend, whereas a magazine is just a page on a piece of paper. So there's your bonus for the day.
Well, that's really good info for anyone podcasting. Write that down and see what you can do with that on your own podcast. Glenn, really appreciate you coming on. This has been a lot of fun. You're always welcome to come back anytime. And you can subscribe to Horses in the Morning on all major podcast platforms. And you can listen via their mobile app as well.
Yeah, we have an app for the Horse Radio Network, and that was one of the best things we ever did, too. We've had over 40,000 people download that, so we're happy we have that as well.
Well, I wish you continued success in all of your podcasting, all your shows, Horses in the Morning, and all of it.
Well, good luck with the baby.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Chad Whittle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. For a complete list of where to subscribe, visit chadwhittle.com. And while you're there, subscribe to Chad's Substack newsletter so you can stay up to date on future guests and to have his weekly articles delivered straight to your inbox. If you enjoy this podcast, please tell a friend. You can follow Chad on Twitter at CWhittleMedia and facebook.com/CWhittleMedia. You can also connect with him on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening to the Chad Whittle Podcast.